Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm Richard Rutledge.
And I'm Ryan Smithy.
And we're grateful that you have given us this opportunity to spend the time with you today and study through God's Word together. Hope and pray that you've been keeping up as we've made it our goal to study through the New Testament in 2016. Just a reminder, if you've gotten behind on any of those chapters, just go to the on-demand section there from the homepage. From there, find the Mornings for the Master icon, click on it, and then select those chapters that you may have fallen behind on, and we will be here when you get back. Before we get things started, though, we always like to remind you of events that are going on in the Brotherhood, a few things that have been posted to the bulletin board here that we want to make you aware of. And then if you know of something that's going on, let us know about it. If you would, just shoot us an email at mornings@tgrn.org. Again, that's mornings@tgrn.org, and put a note on there for the bulletin board. We'll do our very best to get this information out in a timely manner. We want to make you aware of an event that's going to take place September the 19th through the 21st at 7 p.m. The Broadway Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas, will be hosting the Searching the Scriptures Forum. This is an event that has they've been hosting for several years. And we will broadcast this live on the Gospel Radio Network is our plans. So mark that calendar, September 19th through 21 for the Searching the Scriptures Forum from the Broadway Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas.
All right. Then we also have received notice of a debate that's coming up on Tuesday, September 27th, simply titled The Great Debate 2016. And this is going to be between atheist Alexander Rosenberg and Christian theist Ralph Gilmore. Ralph works with the Fried Hardeman University, and this is being hosted with the Warren Apologetics Center and also Buckeyes for Christ, and it's going to be at the Mershon Auditorium on the Ohio State University campus. But you can also learn more information at the Great Debate 16, greatdebate16.com, and you can find out more information. Looks like the affirmations are centering around the idea of the goodness of God and the existence of evil. Right. And so does the existence of evil prove there's not an all-caring, all-powerful God, or does that very debate tell us that there is a definite sense of morality and therefore there is a God? And so certainly a great topic there.
That's something I believe that's lost in times that we live in today, is that aspect of debates. Mm-hmm. Not many folks are willing to enter into the realm of public debate. Mm-hmm. They look at it in a negative light. And so I think it's good that we're able to see this, and even individuals who are going back to that very base debate, the existence of God. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a theological debate, but this fundamental,
right.
Is there God? So looking towards that, I know that I'm hoping for us in the future to even be able to have localized debates here in our studio and discussions and such as that. So maybe those efforts will pay off as well. Mm-hmm. But these things are of benefit. Something else of great benefit is being evangelistic. And the New Boston is having their fall gospel meeting with Mike Price. Church of Christ Evangelize is the theme. It'll be October the 1st through the 5th. It'll kick off Saturday with evangelism seminar. I don't have it right here before me, but I know this time is incorrect. It says 9 a.m. on the flyer. He sent me something, and I want to say it was about 2 p.m. they were going to have on Saturday, but I'll check that out before we announce it again on the bulletin board. But they'll have a Saturday event. Then it'll be Sunday, Who is My Neighbor? What a Wonderful Cave, and What Kind of Heart Do We Have? For the Sunday services. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they'll have a 7 p.m. lesson, Who is Jesus? Man Does Not Live by Bread Alone, and The Death, Burial, and Resurrection, The Consequences. You can get more information about this meeting by giving them a call, 903-628-2891, or visiting newbostoncoc.org.
All right, and a few specifically for the ladies here. A Ladies' Day on October the 1st from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and this is going to be at the Edgewood Church of Christ, and it will be by Carla Sparks, simply titled Fill My Cup. And so, again, October the 1st at 9 a.m. With the Edgewood Church of Christ.
All right. Also, we're going to, there's the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat of 2016. This is going to be October the 6th through the 8th, that is Thursday through Saturday, at the Heart of Texas Bible Camp in Brady, Texas. Cost for the weekend is $60, $30 for young ladies aged 15 to 21. It's all-inclusive, and those registration forms need to be there, or they're hoping they'll be there by September 1, I think is what it says on the webpage. You can go to TexasLadiesInChrist.org. From there, you can download PDF forms of the registration and other question and answers that are there. Or you can give them a call, 325-600-4143, for more information about that. And then we have our lectureship coming up.
Lectureship for the Gospel Radio Network is coming up, and that will be November 5th and 6th, that Saturday and Sunday. And details on that are being finalized with speakers and all of their topics. But looking forward this year to talking about proclaiming the gospel of peace. And, you know, I know we've had discussions here about that, especially in the culture and the time in which we're living in. And everyone wants to be divided over everything.
Right.
And I think that'll be a great topic to be able to look at there is the very source of peace, and then the gospel that unites people together. And so we're looking forward to that event. Again, mark your calendar November 5th and 6th. Hope you can join us here in Mount Vernon, but at least online on the Gospel Radio Network.
And then North Jefferson congregation is having a Ladies' Day on November the 5th, and they're having Holly McCormack speak, Living Without Fear in a Current Culture. Holly is the wife of John McCormack, the pulpit preacher for the Atlanta Church of Christ. And you can get more information by giving them a call at 903-572-1136. And then I have on the same sheet here another Ladies' Day, and that's going to be at the North Main Church of Christ there in Malvern, Arkansas. It'll be November the 12th. And April Meacham's going to be dealing with how to be a Christian woman in a gender-neutral world. They ask that you RSVP. You can give them a call, 225-326-9179, for more information. I think that's it. Do we have anything else that you're aware of that's on the bulletin board today, Ryan?
That is all that I'm aware of.
All right. Well, we're going to continue our study here in just a moment. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 3 today. So stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Shining throne on high, come to watch me wear.
Welcome back to the Gospel Radio Network and Mornings for the Master. We're grateful that you have taken this opportunity to be with us today and join us as we study through the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And we're going to look this morning at those verses. We're going to start off, and let's just look through, let's just go through verse number, let's try to make it to verse number 9. Actually, there's not a real good break there, but let's just take them in a way that we can go through and get some information from these.
All righty. Verse 1, he says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ."
All right, let's just back up here and just glean a few things from these verses. He reminds us once again for this cause that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. Paul oftentimes mentions this fact, that he is this prisoner. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 20, he says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." He is this. He tells Philemon when he writes to him, "Whom I would have retained with me, that in my stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel." He is this prisoner of Jesus Christ, or prisoner for Jesus Christ. And then now he turns his attention, "If you have heard of the dispensation of grace that God had given to me for you." And then, "how by revelation he made known unto me." He tells us how this was that he received this information. And it was by revelation. It wasn't by the teaching or instruction of men, but that it was by revelation. But now notice what he says. "As I wrote afore," or before, "in a few words, that when you read, you may understand my knowledge of Christ." When we read the things that he had written, that's what really come to mind right here when I look at this. Paul says that when you read the things that I have written, that you can understand.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that I can read Scripture and I can understand the Scripture. I don't have to have someone tell me what the Bible means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be in some of the man-made religions that unless you were in the priestly realm, if you were just a lay individual, you couldn't read and understand the Scriptures. You had to have someone tell you what it meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many that get wrapped up in that. We have the idea that, unless somebody's a priest, unless somebody's a highly religious person, I need them to tell me what the Scriptures say. Paul's going to deal with it. To the Galatians in the idea of the philosophies of men, mm-hmm. and the words escaping me there, but that you had to transcend to some higher level of spirituality, and then you could know things about God. Today, there's still those fascinations with hidden messages and the maybe the Bible code or other things. All these things, you have to jump through these hoops. And Paul's telling you, you can know these things and you can understand them and follow them.
And that's really, you know, he says, as a New King James, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand what? What may we understand? We may understand my knowledge, Paul's knowledge of what? Paul's knowledge in the mystery of Christ. There's the parenthetical that is there. And, you know, if we read it, he said, how he made known to me the mystery, and then we come in, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So he revealed this to him by revelation, that which had not been completely revealed before. But he says, I wrote about this. I have already briefly written concerning this thing. And when you read it, you can understand my knowledge. I can have the Apostle Paul's knowledge of the understanding of the mystery of Christ, that this is what God had planned from the beginning. And that's what he's going to drive this point home here in just a moment, that God has fulfilled in Christ, through Christ, in the church, his plan from the very beginning. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that unfortunately is often missed when people see this word mystery. Is we think, oh, something hidden, something secret. And there's that sense, yes, it was a mystery because it wasn't in our minds, in the minds of men. It was in the minds of God.
Right, but it's not like now, you have to be Sherlock Holmes, right, and it's not a whodunit where you have to piece all these things together. It's right. More of a what's behind door number three.
Right.
You know, and until you look behind door number three, it's a mystery.
Right. And I even relate it to a mystery book or a mystery theater. You know, when I read a mystery book, there's things I don't know until I maybe get to the end. But then when I'm at the end, guess what? I still put it back in the mystery section. But right. I know it now. And I think there's a relation there to Paul. It was unknown to us, but now it's known. But I still speak of it as a mystery because it's what God had revealed to us.
Right. And it is a mystery. You know, but again, I think we sometimes take that word and we think about, one that I think about is, say, National Treasure, the movie, okay, where you had to piece together this, and then it would lead you to this clue, and then you'd find this clue, and it would lead you to this clue, and you had to jump through hoops, and you had to, you know, really squint your eyes to see these things. But that's not what the case is. It wasn't the fact that it was, you know, it was something they should have seen. You know, that's why so many people, when they did see Jesus, because they knew God's promise before, they understood who he was. It wasn't something that was difficult or hard to understand. It was something that we can understand. You may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. And then he clarifies that. And he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now been revealed. It was made known by revelation. How was it revealed? By the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Why? Why? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. And so now this is not something that's just for the Jew, but it's now for all. It's for everyone. He has made it, has been revealed through or by the Spirit for the fact that they should be fellow heirs of the same body. That hope that we can have in Christ Jesus. He had pointed this out in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, that we are, if you look back in Ephesians 2, verse 12, that in the times we were, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so to make peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so, you know, he offers this which was not known then, but is now known, been revealed, and that they can be saved by the gospel.
Yeah, there's not a lot of things. I'm usually a fairly calm person, but I think Ephesians 1 through 3 is one of those sections that when I have the opportunity to teach, I just can't quite contain myself, because it is that great beauty that here are all blessings that are in Christ, and guess what? It's not for one or few particular person. It's for all people. We're combining in unity again into that one body that is Christ, and Paul comes on down and he says, that's the beautiful mystery that's now being revealed in Christ. It's going forth into the world, and not to get ahead of us, but that's what shows the beautiful wisdom of God, that we get to display that to the world as his body if we're operating as we ought to in that unity.
Mm-hmm.
And so a beautiful section there that really, it's that reminder that all of these chapters are tying together, and we see that even tied back in verse 1 for this reason. Well, that reason that we're all in that one body.
Exactly. And the way that it is there is by the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how God calls man. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, we're called by the gospel. The gospel that Paul was so ready to preach to people in Romans chapter 1, in verse number 15, because he felt indebted to his fellow man, verse number 14, and so therefore he wasn't going to be ashamed. Verse number 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so these Gentiles can be fellow heirs, Galatians chapter 3, 24 to 27, or 29 really, you know, and the fact that we're all sons of God now through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, but you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if we're in Christ, then what are we? We're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. They can be fellow heirs and partakers of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus. How? By the gospel. And then he says, verse number 7, wherefore, because of this, wherefore then I am a minister, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective and working of his power. A blessing that Paul counts, that he is now been given this blessing of being made a minister of the gospel, a gift of God, that he can do it. Unto me, he then says, to me who am less than the least of all of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We can't even fathom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at Romans chapter 5, Paul points out, you know what, for a good man some would die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he says, but this makes absolutely no sense sometimes to people.
Right.
That while we were yet sinners, Christ would die for us.
Mm-hmm.
When we were enemies of God, chapter 5, verse 10, that Christ would die for us. And there's this blessing of love that is demonstrated through Christ, but the unsearchable riches of Christ, those blessings that are found only in Christ. Again, referring back there to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Those are the great blessings that he is able to share and to preach and to be a minister of as he goes out into this world.
And I see a common theme here with Paul that we oftentimes get to point out, but especially between verse 7 and 8 there, but where you get to see both the humility of Paul as he realizes, yes, it's by the grace of God that I get to do this, that I'm not boasting of myself. I consider myself even here the least, verse 8. So you see his humility, but you also see this idea of privilege or the idea that he understands what he gets to handle, the very word of God, this treasure And he takes that responsibility very seriously. And so it's this honor, but also this humility that you see in him that I think it serves as a great lesson for all of us.
He points out one unto me if I preach not the gospel. Mm. You know, the idea, that's what he has. He's been entrusted with as a steward mm-hmm. almost of gospel. And it is a great privilege and a humility as well. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. Let me hide behind the cross and preach Christ crucified. That's what he wants to preach, and he wants to preach about Jesus. That it is a blessing that we see this giving of the gospel, and especially when you look at what he had done. He brings it up, you know, the fact that he was a persecutor of the church. He has been given this and blessed with this, even in the face of all that he had done. Mm-hmm. And so he gets to preach this gospel and make it known unto men, verse number 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Here again, we see this fellowship of the mystery, this uniting of Jew and Gentile, of all men can be united in Christ Jesus. And so he's letting this this fellowship of the mystery be made known, from which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. Again, it had not been revealed or seen, but they're about to see this. They're able to enjoy this. Again, who created all things by Jesus. The definite fact. I mean, John chapter 1, without a doubt, when we look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Jesus is the power by which the creation took place. So Jesus is there in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And it was through Jesus that these things were created.
You know, I might stress there as well in verse 9. I don't know what best way to try to relate, and we can talk about this out of chapter 2 too as well, but how do you express what the gospel has done when he's talking about this fellowship of the mystery? You're trying to remember here, he's uniting Jew and Gentile, two very opposing groups that had, there was always this kind of enmity, certainly between the Gentile or the Jew that maybe considered himself elevated in the sight of God, and the Gentile was nothing. And yet here in Christ, we can be one. And, you know, I don't know, maybe you take Black Lives Matter and you take Blue Lives Matter and some of the conflict that we see in our world today, and you realize it's the gospel that can unite those people or bring them together and create peace. That's the closest I can do. But I see that in Paul, that he's trying to express to us the magnificence of the gospel that's able to bring those all together. I don't care skin color, economic status, social status, whatever it is, that can unite all people together. And that glory that he's going to be talking about as we shift into these next verses of showing God's wisdom and mercy there.
It is. And I mean, it was a great hatred that they had. I mean, the Jews had built such animosity towards those in the outside, different groups, I mean, of these individuals, not just, you know, the nations in general. I mean, basically, that's what we're talking about. There's Jew, and then there's everybody else. But there were certain groups of those that we see come out in Scripture with John chapter 4, the woman at the well, when Jesus, you know, says he must needs go through Samaria, and he does. He walks through that region with the Samaritans. And he sits there and he speaks to the Samaritan woman. She says, "Why are you asking me, a Jewish man, speaking to me, a Samaritan woman, why are you asking me for a drink of water? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And so there were those type of animosities that had been there for years and ages that they had dealt with. And so, yeah, I mean, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, I don't know if they would even be a great enough division.
Right.
Maybe Hitler and the Jews during World War II or something, you know. Maybe that. And he's able to say, now you're coming together. in one, mm-hmm. in one in Christ Jesus. And I believe that's why it was such a difficult thing mm-hmm. for many of the Jews to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see, because it's something that comes up quite often, even the conflict in the church between those of Jewish descent and those of Gentile lineage, even after they had become Christians. Now we see, I think it's interesting, you can look at secular writings. I don't have any of them with me here today. I wish I did. But some of the letters that were written in the early first century concerning Christians. And that's one thing that stood out to these pagan individuals as they observed Christianity from afar. They would comment on the fact that Christians loved one another out of, not because of they were brothers of the flesh, but they accepted one another as though they were literal and real brothers.
Right.
Because that's what we become. We become sons of God, sharing a common father, and that's the only thing that can wash away those differences. You know, taking it back to our current problem and division in our country, no government entity or do-good group, I don't care how many letters they want to call themselves by, they can't do any good.
Right.
The only thing that can remedy the problem is the unity that is offered in Jesus Christ. And the fellowship, this fellowship of the mystery of Christ, we can enjoy. Now let's look at verses, let's just go 10 through 13.
To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known, made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory.
Now, here's the intent. Here's the purpose of it. You know, he says that he's been made this minister to the Gentiles, that he can make known this mystery that was not known before, but now he's written about it. He is the one who is going to teach and preach about the unsearchable riches of God, this fellowship of the mystery. Why? For this intent, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church. He's going to point out this purpose, and it's not a secondary thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something that happened because the Jews rejected Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was not a secondary thought. God had intended this from before creation. And that the manifold wisdom of God may be known, be made known by the church. There's a role that we have to do. Let's just think about this. I've got some notes in the margin of my Bible here concerning this. And I just have what the church is not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The church, to begin with, was not a second thought of God. The church, we are not a divided people. It's not a denomination. You know, when we look at John 17 and the Lord's Prayer, he prayed for unity. The kind of unity that the psalmist speaks about in Psalm 133, something that is both good and pleasant. How good, behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, Psalm 133 in verse number 1. It's the blessing and the undivided people that we even see in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, when he points out there in verse number 16, nevertheless, where you've already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same things. We're not divided. Or people who speak the same things and were perfectly joined together, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10. And so the church, what it is not a divided group of people. We're not to be confused with the denominations, because we are not. We are pre. You know, some people say, well, you're non-denominational. No, we're not non-denominational. We are pre-denominational. We are non-denominational. We're anti-denominational. Right. Because denomination is a division, and it's against everything that Jesus prayed for. We are not a cult. The church is not a cult. That's what people would want us to be made on it. And you know something else? We're not leeches on the community. The church is what makes known the manifold wisdom of God. It holds out the love of God. It holds out the hope of God. It holds out the grace of God into this lost and dying world. It's not a leech on the community. So what is it? The church, we are Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching people. That's what we are. Our motto, if you will, is do Bible things in Bible ways. Let's look and see what the Bible says. Let's have a thus saith the Lord. Now, we may be accused at times of being blinded by the Scripture. But the Bible is the Word of God. Yeah. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That the man of God, you know, is going to be perfect, thoroughly furnished. He tells us there in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. What it's good for. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable for us. And so we are people who cling to the Word of God, who, as even as you mentioned a moment ago, that Paul was given this privilege. It's such a privilege to handle the Word of God that we give diligence, or we study to show ourselves approved to God, so that we don't have a need to be ashamed, but we're rightly dividing the word of truth. We're handling aright the word. And so we're Bible believing and preaching and teaching people. We're the church of Christ. We're the family of God, 1 Timothy 3:15. And we are people that care about the lost. The church, the family of God, the saved of God, those who are being added to the church were those who were being saved, Acts 2:47. The body of Christ. And so this is what he speaks of here, that it may be made known by the church. What's going to be made known? The manifold wisdom of God that was part of his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness. Mm-hmm. And access with confidence by the faith in him. You know, we have a mediator now. 1 Timothy 2:5. We have an advocate, 1 John 2. And so we have confidence. The Hebrew writer points out and says that because of that we may boldly come before the throne and receive help in time of need. That we have confidence and access by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is to your glory. But now let's notice the remainder of this chapter. Let's go 14 through the end.
For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever.
Oh, listen to what he says then. Because for this cause he's going to bow his knee, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What a great thing that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you're going to be strengthened. He's bowing down here, that you may be strengthened with the might of his spirit of the inner man, and that you're going to be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. When we think about that love that Christians have, well, first and foremost, the love for God. I mean, that's the great commandment that Jesus mentioned. When he's asked, Master, what is the great commandment? He said, this is it, that you love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might. And the second is likened to the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we think about that, we're going to have a love for God. We're going to have a love for our neighbor, the lost. We're going to have a love for our brethren. Jesus gave a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Mm-hmm. And by this, men will know that you are my disciples, if you have this love one for another. This love, be rooted and grounded in love, speaking the truth in love, he's going to say in just a few moments in the following chapter. This love for one another, for God and for the lost. And verse 18, and may be able to comprehend. Now here, it's hard to comprehend. It's hard to fathom. Mm-hmm. These unsearchable riches of Christ. And to even to understand this, the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It really, at times, for me, it's hard to comprehend some of these things. He says that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know this love of Christ which passes knowledge, the peace that surpasses all understanding, Philippians mm-hmm. chapter 4. But we can know it, mm-hmm. and we can enjoy it, and we can benefit from it.
And I think here, again, the beauty of what you're seeing here, really, I see that section as Paul falling down and worshiping God, but also expressing this prayer that he has for the Christians here at Ephesus and no doubt everywhere. But I want you to know more about this, and what am I doing? I'm writing this letter that you can know more about mm-hmm. these things. Yes, it's unsearchable. Yes, it's hard for us to express, but here he's talked about in all of these chapters what God has done for us, how he's united us in this one body, how he accomplished this in Christ, that we may not be able to fully get our hands around it, but these things are certainly going to help you grow greatly in that appreciation of these things.
You know, that's exactly right. He's wanting them to know this. Go back to the first chapter, verses 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Mm-hmm. You know, he's wanting them to comprehend this. And he does. He points it out. He says, I want you to fully comprehend it. He mm-hmm. says the width and the length and the depth and the height, I want you to know how far this love and this reaches and comprehend and understanding it because it is such a great blessing. And then listen to how far it even goes. Because when you look at verse number 20, and you think about this, now to him, to God, to him who is able, our God is able, God is able to deliver, to him who is able to what? To do exceedingly abundantly above that we could ask or think. Now, can you even imagine that? Mm-hmm. He says, we can't. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, even greater than our minds can imagine. God is able. That's a powerful God. That's the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that they served when they said to old King Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able, but even if he does not, we will not bow down. And so he is able to do this. And to him who is able, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. God receives the glory because God is the one who is able to unite Jew and Gentile in this grand fellowship of one body in Christ Jesus, where in Ephesians chapter 1, all spiritual blessings are found. In Ephesians chapter 2, it's where Jew and Gentile come together, where all hope is found. And here, it's all fellowship in Ephesians chapter 3 in Christ Jesus, because we're one. And that's when he goes into these seven ones of unity in the following chapter.
And that, you know, the warning that I would issue there for all of us goes back to 10 and 11. It's by all of these things that the wisdom of God is shown. And so we dare to change the gospel, or we dare to think that the church needs changing from God's prescription. You're not dealing with man. You're dealing with the wisdom of God and thinking that you know better than God. And he's showing us here the very mind of God that's been revealed.
Right, and it's God's plan from the get-go.
Yes, yes.
It hasn't changed. And now, you know, in these, let's just think about it. You know, when we think about this wisdom of God that's demonstrated by the church, and it was God's plan from the very beginning, and then now, in the last, you know, 600 years, the last 1,000 years of time, man is going to start thinking he knows better, you know? You think about the fact that, okay, the church has been established some, you know, 2,000 years. And God had planned it long before that. And who am I to meddle with it? Who am I to say that I know better than God? So the wisdom of God is what we always seek to find. Well, that's all for today for us, but we hope that you will continue to listen throughout the week, tuning in each weekday morning for Mornings for the Master as we study together through the New Testament in 2016. But don't forget, you have opportunities throughout the day. In just a bit, you'll be able to hear Good News Today with Jim Dearman at 11, followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine, there with Rick Popejoy and other hosts. Then there are listening opportunities throughout the day. Don't forget to check the schedule on a regular basis, as we're hoping to add new programs, and they'll come online shortly. And just continue to listen and share the message of the Gospel Radio Network with your friends, neighbors, and loved ones. Until next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.
You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.